Hello and welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, which is our hand car washing business, and located in Church Hill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate this business. And we do so for the sole purpose of glorifying God through our work and through our actions. We use the money that we earn there to support our family and to support this ministry. So your support of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching, if you choose to do so, would be to simply come by and patronize our business by stopping in and letting us work to earn our money. We do this because we believe that time is short. We also believe that the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching method is the most powerful and effective way to properly equip the saints of God for what this world is bringing today and what this world is going to bring against Christians in the near future. And so let us be prepared by preparing ourselves through the washing and regeneration of the fullness of God's Word. And so that's why we do Verse by Verse Bible Teaching, and that's why we're going to pick it up where we left off in our last teaching. We are in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. We just finished verses 9 through 11 in our last message, and we're talking a lot about the not only remaining in Jesus and bearing fruit, which brings glory to God, but we're focusing on the why. You know, why do we want to do this? And Jesus gave us the answer in verse 11, and that is that we would have joy and have joy complete. There is no other way of getting complete joy apart from Jesus Christ. And that joy, that complete joy, we get through being in fellowship with Jesus and in an intimate relationship with the Father through Jesus, is the ability to worship Jesus, to serve others, and to put ourselves last. And this is how we achieve that pure joy. And that's how we looked at it last week with, or in our last message, joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. And that's a good formula for experiencing the fullness of joy that Jesus is talking about. And so Jesus continues in verse 12 of chapter 15, and that's where we pick it up here. It says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other." Let's stop there at verse 18. And I look at this and I look at the phrase fruit that will last. And I think to myself, fruit that will last. Well, last time I checked, fruit is one of the last or one of the first things to spoil in my refrigerator. And the reason it is because the moment you pick fruit, you're taking it off of its vine or off of its tree, off of its source of life. And the moment you pick it off of its tree or its vine, it begins to die. So when Jesus says that you will produce fruit that lasts, the only logical connection is that fruit that lasts is fruit that remains intact with its source of nourishment, i.e. the vine, i.e. Jesus. And again, this is not just a spiritual truth, though it is certainly a spiritual truth indeed, but this is a natural truth that happens in the regular natural world. The last teaching, we talked about, you know, how God loves you, and you know how well this, I should say last chapter, not last teaching, we were talking about the goodness of God and how the love of God is the one thing that's going to keep, you know, help us to overcome the sin that's still in our lives. And now God is transitioning, and Jesus is saying, now I want you to know that you are friends. You are my friend, Jesus says. And that's a really big thing, especially back then, as he uses the servant analogy, where a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. Because Jesus didn't just lay down his life so that he could be our Lord and Savior and bring us to heaven one day. But he laid down his life so that he could be your friend. This friendship was established by Christ. Look again at verse 12. Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." He says, this is what I have done, and this is why I have done it. I have laid down my life for the sake of our friendship. And a good perspective verse is to remember 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8. It says, the end of all things is near. If that doesn't put it in perspective, I don't know what does. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And so Jesus, by example, shows us what real love is. And that, of course, is a sacrificial love. And that is the epitome of the acronym of joy that we were looking at. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Jesus put himself last by dying on a cross for you and I. And he says, greater love has no one than this. But here in verse 17, the command changes. Not the command itself, but the responsibility. Verse 17 says, this is my command, love each other. Listen, I'm a leader in a sense that I am a Bible teacher. Does that mean I stand here with my peacock feathers flying in the air saying, I am so much better than everyone else because I can explain scripture and that I have a desire and a gift and a passion? No, none of that means anything. It's simply a gift that God has given me to use for his glory. And I acknowledge that gift, and I use that gift, and with all humility, I give the Holy Spirit all glory and credit for anything that goes forth that changes a life. But what I see here with Jesus is a primary example of good leadership. When I was in the restaurant business, and we were bringing a new employee, let's say a new cook to train, the best way to train that I found was, it's a three-part method. The first part of that is to show the trainee how to do the job. The second part is to allow the trainee to do the job while I watched in close supervision or even helped a little bit if need be. And then thirdly, the trainee is to do the job on his own with little or no supervision at all. And this is exactly what Jesus has done with his disciples. He has shown them this great selfless love, ultimately the dying on the cross, but he has shown it in other ways, washing their feet, for instance, and the way he loved others. So he shows his disciples, and then he sent them out two by two, remember, and gave them special abilities. So he's sort of he was letting them do the work on his own, but he was sort of still overseeing what they were doing. And then finally in Matthew 28, we get the Great Commission where Jesus says, go and make disciples out of all the world. This is the Great Commission, where we are being sent off on our own to take all of the training we've been shown and that we've been doing, and we're to go forth. And this is what Jesus is saying here. Now, here's the command to love each other. Take everything that I've done, everything you've seen so far, boil it all down to one thing. Go and love each other. Jesus says, I am here and I died for you. I am the true vine and I will walk with you and I have talked with you and I have shown you how to do this stuff. I have shown you by example. And now, he says, it's time for me to let go. It's time for me to go back to my Father. And we say, like the disciples, but Jesus, I'm scared. I don't want to grow up. This milk is so tasty. I don't want to step out on faith. I don't want to do that thing that's going to stretch me, that I'm uncomfortable doing, that I feel a little scared to do. I especially, Lord, don't want to love my enemy. I don't want to pray for my enemy. I don't want to give up this sin. I don't want to surrender fully. I don't want to die to myself yet. And we say all these things in fear. But listen, our faithful leader did it all already. good leadership never asks someone to do something that they are not willing to do themselves or haven't already done themselves. You know, here at the car wash, my wife and I work really hard, and sometimes we ache at the end of the day. And I often wonder when we hire, someday if we hire some people, and, you know, they start to work really hard to wash your car, and they start to get tired. You know, I'm not going to give them the excuse of not working hard and doing a good job simply because they're tired, because at that point, we would have already been doing it probably a year or more, and we would never ask them to do something we haven't already done. And there's a respect issue that takes place when you're willing to do what you're asking someone under you to do. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. No, we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. Jesus said, I sacrificed myself. I loved you, and I loved others. Now go and do likewise. No more excuses. Jesus says, you are my children. No, you are my brother and sister. No, even greater than that, you are my friend. And I have cut a path through this jungle of a twisted world. Just follow me. And it's like a big, giant, celestial pep rally that Jesus is giving here. And when the bullhorn stops and the band stops and the cheerleaders stop cheering, the crowd roars. Listen, today, maybe these words are touching you. Maybe you're saying, Lord, I'm ready to move on or move up in my walk with you. Lord, I'm ready, and I think it's time to get serious. It's time to make a difference in the world and in my life. Lord, I am ready to step up to the plate. But you quickly find out that you're just a little leaguer at a major league baseball game, that you're standing there with a wiffle ball bat, and you say, now what? Well, listen, Jesus says, I've already given you the answer. And just as obedience to Christ is a byproduct of our knowledge of his love for us, which we looked at in chapter 14, so too, the things that Jesus wants us to do are a byproduct of remaining in him. The general revelation is to love others, but more specifically, what are your gifts? What are your talents? What is your passion? This is where you are to serve the Lord. We cannot just walk around anymore saying that we are Christians and think that makes a difference. We need men and women who are ready to fight in this world today, who are ready to stand up for the truth and say that stem cell research is an abomination. We need men and women to stand up and say that abortion is murder, that same-sex marriage is a perversion of God's original plan. We need men and women who are going to stand up against the devil and all of the things that this world is throwing at us that are contradictory to God's word. And how do we become these people? Jesus gave only one way. He said, through love. And remember, friends, love is not always passive. Matthew 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Other translations say violent men, violently advancing forward. Listen, Jesus was not always passive, but he was never violent. And you say, handsome radio teacher, how can you turn a chapter about love and about being his friend and loving others and producing fruit into a forceful advancing and fighting Christians ready to do battle? Well, friends, passivity is not working. What are we supposed to do? Specifically and personally, I don't know. That's up to you and the Lord. But I do know this, corporately, we are to remain in Jesus. We are stay attached to the source of our power. Stay in the Bible. Stay in church. Stay into a Bible study. Stay on your knees. It's time to start pruning the deadness in your life. And you say, yes, you're right. It's time to remove these dead things. Throw away the dross and prune the unrighteousness. And I'm ready. But how do I do that? You don't. Friends, back to verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. We remain in Jesus Christ, and that is how we become warriors for Christ. Living a life that glorifies God stems from an intimate, surrendered relationship with Jesus. So the real question is, are you surrendered? Don't be afraid to go out on a limb, because that's where the fruit is. Have a blessed day and join us at the Wash and Word for your car wash, or go to washandword.com for information about this business and this ministry. Have a blessed day.